Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. I wonder how many of you enjoy eating. There's very few that don't. Very few that don't enjoy the eating. When you get a group together and maybe you've never met some of them there, one topic of conversation that will soon get people going is to talk about food and about different types cooked and tasting and so on, the best place to go, etc. And food, of course, is a major topic of conversation. And thank God, God has been good to us in this world. We have many different varieties of food. We have plentiful of supply of food in this part of the world, of course. And God has been so good to us, and we thank Him for that. We praise the Lord for that. But it's interesting that there's been a few in church history over the years when they've come to this petition, they argue something like this, that the real meaning of it is we're to pray for our spiritual food. Of course, those of a Roman Catholic bent, a formalistic, ritualistic bent, they would say, oh, it's feeding upon the Eucharist every day, the communion. And you know, in that particular denomination, I'm not sure, or church, I'm not sure if Greek Orthodox would be similar. They would have the Mass every day, or Eucharist, and it's a feeding in that way. And people are those devout who feel, well, I need to be at the Mass every day to feed. There's others say, of course, more, you could say, conservative in their views, would say, oh, no, it doesn't mean, of course, that, the Lord's table, but it means give us every day the experience of spiritually feeding upon Christ, for He is the bread of life. Now, that is a very good aim in life. And it is a very good purpose to pray, Lord, that I would feed spiritually upon Christ. But that's not the primary meaning of the petition. That's not the primary meaning. It ought to lead us on to that when we pray for our daily food and realize, of course, our daily food's important, but we also need spiritual food, and that's good. But it's talking about our temporal needs. We can come to God with our everyday needs. And what is more basic than bread? Because in the culture of that day, bread was, of course, what we call the staple diet. And we're told from history that the Jews had bread at every meal. They wouldn't have had potatoes the way we do, but they'd have a lot of bread. And bread not maybe made exactly the same way we have it, but barley bread, of course, part of the year, they would have had it, and so on. That was more the bread of the poor, the barley. But bread was the staple diet, and it is asking for that. The shorter catechism, it's always good to look at the catechism. It's a very short answer. Question 104 in our shorter catechism. What do we pray for in the fourth petition? Fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, in other words. And this is the answer in the fourth petition, which is, give us this day our daily bread. We pray that of God's free gift, we may receive a competent portion of the good things of this life and enjoy His blessing with them. And they have it spot on. That we may enjoy the good things that God's provided for us in this physical life here upon earth, and that we'll have God's blessing with them. Because you can have a food on the table, but if you don't have the blessing of God, you may say the taste of the food might be sweet, but yet it's bitter to the taste of someone who's not right with God and can be miserable. So that's the... And thinking about it, there was so much... When I began to study this, I thought I'll just keep it simple in my own mind and give a few words, a series of words. I think it's seven of them in all. And words for you to think about. I hope they'll be in your mind and you'll mull them over and meditate upon them and chew them as you would food and think about them. And the first word is, when you come to this petition, is the word, there needs to be commitment. There needs to be a commitment. Notice it's the fourth petition in the prayer. And the interesting thing is there are three before it and then two more after it. You see, before you get to this, you have to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven. But then come the petitions. Do you see that? In verse 9, you have to pray, Hallowed be thy name. So you're praying to the Father about his name. You're praying to the Father about his kingdom, thy kingdom come. You're praying to the Father about his will, thy will be done. We're praying about the Lord. We're praying to the Lord, and we're praying about the Lord's concerns. And now the whole prayer changes, and it is, we're to pray for our provision, give us our daily bread. We're to pray for our pardon, forgive us our debts. We're to pray for our protection, deliver us from evil. Now, if you notice in this prayer, there are six petitions. Six petitions. The first part is an introduction, Our Father which art in heaven. The first three, there's a similar word. Thy, thy, thy. Thy name, thy kingdom, thy will. And then we turn to the little word, us. Us, do you see that? Give us, forgive us, deliver us. So in other words, I'm saying, before we can truly focus on our concerns, before we can be in the place where we can ask God to supply our daily bread, we need to be in the place of commitment. The first thing we need to do is to be concerned about God's name. You see, it starts in heaven, and then it comes to earth, to honour him. That's the first thing. Go down to verse 33 of the chapter. Because, of course, the Lord gave in the Sermon on the Mount, he went on to speak more, and he's showing us what it means. Verse 33 is the prayer that backs up what I'm saying. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Not simply seek the kingdom of God, but seek ye first. That's why there has to be the priority, the commitment, the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things? Well, you go back to verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? It's to do exactly with the prayer, the necessities of life. And the Saviour said, look, by the way, he's not talking about not planning for tomorrow. Of course he's not. He's talking about anxious worry. And he's saying, look, why are you worried about these things? Because if you put my kingdom first, remember thy kingdom come, and you seek righteousness first, I will add these things unto you. So I'm saying there is the commitment needed before we pray the prayer. You see, if we're coming and asking for daily bread, and yet we haven't come to the place where we're praying for his honour, his name to be hallowed, his kingdom, his will, how can you come and ask for God to meet your necessities of life? How can we come to God and say, Lord, supply my need today so that I can live for the devil and live for myself and live for my own enjoyment and live for the world? Isn't that silly? Yet there's a lot of people who think that. That I'll just ask God and he'll just give it to me. Hasn't he promised? Hasn't he told us to come and ask for bread? Ah, but there's a first part of the prayer. That's what I'm labouring on. I'm labouring this point because it's so important. You have to pray something else before you get to this part. We have to be there seeking his honour before we come. And that's the first, seek his kingdom first. The first thought in the day, the first goal in our life. Of course, the first day of the week we could talk about as well. The first fruits of thine increase. You know, it says over in Proverbs, to bring the Lord the first fruits of our increase. It's talking about money. And then it says, and so your barns shall be filled with plenty. In other words, God's saying, you seek my kingdom. You seek my honour. Well, then you can pray and I will supply your need. I will look after you. See, he's our Heavenly Father. He's our Heavenly Father. And when you're seeking your Father's glory and your Father's honour, I say this reverently, God the Father never be charged with child neglect. Earthly parents sometimes neglect their children. Our God the Heavenly Father doesn't. Put his kingdom first. But then it's a prayer of confession. See the word give. The word give has the idea actually to hand over as a present. In other words, it's something we don't deserve. That's the idea of the meaning of the word. Father, give me as a gift. It's not what I deserve. I don't deserve this. But Lord, give it to me as a gift. Of course, it's a confession too that we need him to give it. Of course, some would say right away, well, look, we don't really. I can go out and earn my food and I can go out and get money in the bank, so I don't really need to pray for my daily. Oh, hold on a minute, you've missed the point. You missed the point. Well, you might have money in the bank, but remember later on the Lord said about putting your money in the bank where moth and rust doth corrupt, thieves break in and steal. So I hope you don't worry. Maybe somebody's breaking into your bank account now. I hope not. You'll worry. But money can go quickly. Economies can crash. Things can change. Who gives us the power to get wealth in Deuteronomy? It says God does. Who gives us the health to be able to eat the bread? God does. Oh, a lot of people think they're self-made men. That's why they don't amount to much. No, we're not. It's God. It's God that gives that power. God gives us the necessities of life. And we need to think of that. What did Paul say? He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. It's the God who gives us that ability. If we've anything, if we are anything, it's only because of God's grace. It's brought out in a little story of the boy was carrying a loaf, and this Christian said to him, where did you get the bread from, son? He says, oh, I got it from the shop. Well, where did the shopkeeper get it from? Oh, well, he got it from the baker. Well, where did he get all it from? He said, well, he got it from the corn that was ground up. Well, where did he get that from? He got it from the mill. Where did the mill get it from? Well, he got the wheat from the farmer. Well, where did the farmer get it from? Oh, well, he planted it. Ah, but how did it grow? Well, God sent the rain and the sun. Son, where did you get the loaf from? Oh, I got it from God. Got it from God. There's a truth to that story, isn't there? Everything comes. Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above. And we as Christians need to recognize that. And it's right to come and ask him for our bread. Now, it's also a comprehensive prayer. That's another word, a comprehensive. Although it says bread, yes, because that's the staple diet, the basic. But I do believe it includes all the necessities of life. All the necessities of life. We're commanded as children of the King to report to him for duty, as it were, at the beginning of the day. And then ask, Lord, now I need the supplies to live today and to carry out your will and to honour your name and to seek to work for your kingdom. Daily bread. You remember the parable the Lord told about the men going out to work and they got the day's wages, a penny. Of course, a penny was worth a lot more. It's only a translation into our English, the penny. Denarius is the word. But there was no one in those days a day's pay. It seems that it was quite common to pay people daily. Then it became weekly, monthly. Some people say they get paid very weekly. But weekly, monthly, and so on. But it seemed to be, from that parable anyway, there seemed to be indications people were paid every day. Every day. Does that not include to us too when we think about this? It's the whole, it's comprehensive, it's for everything I need. And when we come in this prayer, God is saying, look, ask me for everything that you need. And it is right. We can come to the Lord with those daily needs. For food, for clothing. And even in times of financial stress, we may not be in that same place as others around the world, but there's still a need to pray this prayer, that the Lord would meet every need. And yes, you can go on and pray for the spiritual and for the strength and for the sleep that we need for our bodies and for health and these other things. But it covers all the necessities of life. It's a comprehensive prayer. And I believe when I brought in that about the penny and the work and the daily, it's asking the Lord, I believe in this prayer, we can expand it out. Lord, our daily bread. And I don't think we're stretching it to say, and the ability and strength to work, to earn our daily bread. You see, the prayer is not to be taken in a sense, I'll just sit and back and God will drop it all in my lap. There's no place in God's word where that comes out. What do we learn in the book of Genesis that the Lord said, in the sweat of thy brow, in the sweat of thy brow, we're told, shalt thou eat bread. That was told. And that's God's ordained labour. We're to labour. We're to labour with our hands. Labour with our hands. There's a lovely verse over in 2 Thessalonians. I say lovely because it's an amazing verse. 2 Thessalonians. You probably know it, but it may be worth turning to it and you'll know where it is in your Bible. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. And I'm not going to get sidetracked into preaching against extreme socialism and communism, though we could, as I believe that type of teaching is contrary to the whole teaching of the Bible, the whole idea of extreme communism and socialism and all. It's a destructive to the society, and I believe that's a scriptural, can be proved from scripture. But in chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians verse 10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. And what's happening is, there were those who were saying Christ is about to come. He's about to come. And some were saying, well, look, he's coming, so we're not going to bother working. We just want to stay and pray. We're just going to wait for his coming. And so we're too spiritual to get a job. But of course, they're expecting other Christians to feed them. Isn't Paul very practical? Isn't it amazing how practical the word of God is? Paul said, there's some in the church and they've got off on wrong teaching. And they're not going out to do a bit of work. Now, don't you be giving them any food. That's what he's actually saying. Because when they get hungry enough, they'll start to work. Now, of course, he's not talking about those who can't find work. This present climate, there are many, sadly. And, of course, they can pray this prayer, give us our daily bread. And they can pray, Lord, open up a job for me. And then you put amen to your prayer. You look in the want ads. That's answering the prayer. You've been joining in the prayer. That's what we mean. And Paul is saying there, no, it doesn't mean you don't. You just wait for the thing to happen. Paul says, let them go hungry. There's many verses in the Proverbs about the sluggard not having things and so on. And if we had time to go down, we talk about the birds down the verse in chapter 6. He talks about the little birds been fed, and this is back in Matthew chapter 6, and he talks about the birds and how he feeds them and takes care of them. Verse 26 of Matthew 6, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? He's saying, look, God will take care of your need, but listen, God doesn't drop it into the nest. The birds have to be up sometimes before we're up scratching for the food. God gives it to them, but they have to go and pick it up. So I'm just saying it's a comprehensive prayer, comprehensive prayer. What Martin Luther said about this prayer is everything necessary for the preservation of this life, including food, a healthy body, job, home, and all the necessities of life. And so Christ is telling them to pray for everything they need. Just by the way, we can't think of the spiritual application. We pray, God bless our church. We could say, Lord, bless the work on the extension. But if Gordon and his team don't come and start building, we say, God bless our church and add to the numbers. But there's a part for us to play. Oh, yes, the prayer is very important. Of course it is. Except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. But then we're to be involved as well. And so we're praying for strength. Give us our daily bread. We're praying for strength. Let me hurry on. It's a prayer for a prayer of confidence, a prayer of confidence. And we pray, Lord, give us our daily bread. We're confident that God can do it. God can supply in miraculous ways. You think of George Mueller. Wonderful ways where he could pray for the orphans. He never sent a prayer letter, not that there's anything wrong with that. Never told of his needs, not that that's necessarily wrong, but he was led that way. And yet in those days in the 1800s, they say it was over £1 million came to his orphanage. 2,000 orphans at one time, didn't get a penny from the government, prayed. And there were cases where at night, when they went to bed, they didn't know how to give the children breakfast in the morning. Yet, when they get up early to make the breakfast, God had already provided, maybe with a baker coming with food. Miraculous things happened. God answered. God can answer. A confidence that God is able to meet the need. He's promised to give us our daily bread. He's able to give us strength for our weakness. And we need to remember that. It's a prayer of confidence. We're relying upon him to meet the needs. And we pray it. We're proclaiming our faith in him. Remember Romans 8:32. God has given us Christ. God the Father gave us his Son. How shall he not with him freely also give us all things? Now, it's a prayer that's continuous. Let me hurry on. Give us this day. And the Lord emphasizes down the chapter, you're not praying for tomorrow. And on down the chapter, there's verse after verse in Matthew 6 where he expands upon this. And he's saying, look, don't be worrying about tomorrow. Don't be worrying about tomorrow. It's on down the chapter there. Don't worry. For instance, verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. He talks about the fowls of the air. And what he's saying is here, look, you have to continually pray this. What he's saying is, don't worry about tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day. You get that in verse, talks about tomorrow is cast into the oven, grass, it goes away and quickly. And you're not, verse 34, therefore take no thought for the morrow. He's not saying don't plan, but he's saying, look, pray today for God's grace. Continuous. You can't rely upon yesterday's bread. Yesterday's bread gets stale. I know ours lasts a wee bit than yesterday, keeps a few days, but you know the thought. New days, he'll give you the strength, you pray for today. Oh, but what about tomorrow? I have this problem tomorrow and I have this need tomorrow. Pray for today. Of course it's good to plan, but pray, God will give it to you. There's a hymn, moment by moment, I'm kept in his love. Moment by moment, I've life from above. Every day, there's a little poem that went something about daily strength for daily needs. Now, it's a prayer of contentment. Give us this day our daily bread. You know what we're saying? Lord, I'll be content with whatever you send. Doesn't say our daily wants or our daily, often hear people saying God supplies our needs, not our greeds. We're not saying God's not gracious. Of course he is. He's a loving heavenly Father. But he gives us what we need. He gives us what's best. And if we pray this prayer, what we're saying is, Lord, whatever you do with my life today and whatever you provide for me, I'm content in your will. That's part of it. I was reading recently, although I certainly wouldn't recommend him even now, was the man Baker. Remember, maybe some of you don't remember, Baker was the man of the PTL club on the charismatic channels, the God channels. He got jail, of course, so did his wife too, were in scandals. He got jail for the millions. Yet he's one of the TV evangelists. But he has since, when he got out of jail, written, although I wouldn't even buy the book, but I saw some quotes where he seemed to have got some more sense. And I don't know much about the man since he got out of jail. He could have had a complete reversal. But all I'm saying is, because of the past, I'm not too interested in reading too much. But I did read this quote advertising a book that he's since written. And he said that he was deluded with the health and wealth gospel. Well, he certainly since then. And he said, when I look back what I preached on the TV channels and so on, is he blasphemous, he preached years ago, where you don't come and ask God for things. You get what you want in your mind and you come and command God, I want this, I want this, and you pray boldly. That's rubbish. That's blasphemy. That's not the way it ought to be. Oh, I delight in his command. Love to be led by his dear hand. When we pray this, give us this today, our daily bread, we're saying, Lord, whatever you know that I need today, reminds me of Gracia Burnham. It just comes to mind. You remember when she talked about the Abu Sarif terrorists for the year she was in captivity? And the first time when they took them the first day and they're running through the jungle with the point of the guns on their back, telling them to run quicker, she kept praying, "Lord, give me water. Lord, I need water. I need water." And then I remember saying, you know, after an hour or so, I started to pray, "Lord, keep me going until you provide water." Very simple thing. Very, very simple thing. But she said, I was getting so worked up, and the more I prayed about it, the more thirsty I got, or the more I kept on about it. And I said, "Lord, just give me the strength to keep going to get water." Of course, on the other hand, you remember this, maybe some of you have seen Gracia Burnham's DVD. Many of you have seen her DVD, no? Oh, just a few. You know who I'm talking about? She was a New Tribes missionary. She and her husband were kidnapped, maybe 10 years ago. Her husband was killed when the paratroopers came to set them free from the Abu Sarif terrorists. They were linked to Osama bin Laden's group. And she was shot in the hip. Her husband was killed. But in her story of about half an hour talking about it, my wife and I met her one time, which is over in Northern Ireland. And people we worked with were from the same home church that Gracia Burnham's from. But there's a lovely part at the end. She talks about that, how just praying that, "Lord, give me strength to keep going to provide the water." But there's a lovely bit at the end where she and Martin were saying, they said one night, "What would you really love to have? What if you missed?" The year's captivity was nearly up at that time. She says, "You know, I'd love a hamburger and French fries, as they call it. I'd really love that." And he said to her, "Now, don't you be greedy. You know, don't be asking the Lord for that. Be just content with the rice." And she said, "But you know, Martin, I'd really love that." I don't know if she actually said she prayed for it, but she just said, "That would be lovely to get." And they moved them, I think it was 18 times to different places, because there were different times when there were gun battles to try and release they and other kidnappers. But it's lovely to see her. I can just picture her saying that how they came near a town and some of the young fellows disappeared and came back. And what did they come back with? It wasn't McDonald's, she said. But it was an equivalent over in the Philippines. Now, they were cold by the time they got them back, but it was hamburgers and French fries. And she said, "There you are, Martin. God's good, isn't he?" Well, the Lord sometimes does those things for us, but still, it doesn't take away from the point, contentment. When we pray, "Give us this daily bread," we're saying, "Oh Lord, we'll be content with you give." Proverbs 30. Turn over to Proverbs 30 a moment to show you a lovely verse. Lovely verse, but hard to put into practice. Proverbs 30, verse 7. "Two things have I required of thee, deny me not them before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies." Note, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." Not a lovely wee prayer he prayed. See, he's saying, what's most... In other words, you know what he's actually praying? "Lord, make me content. Make me content." I see time's going, so just mention very quickly in Matthew 6, if you have time to go down it, he talked about don't worrying about tomorrow's bread, you know, about the fires of the earth. You see, it's needless to worry about tomorrow. If God takes care of the birds, he'll take care of us. He'll take care of us. Can you imagine a farmer taking care of the chickens on the farm and doesn't take care of his own children? Wouldn't that be crazy? Well, the Heavenly Father will take care of us. He takes care of the birds. So it's needless to worry about tomorrow. It's senseless. It's useless because we can't add a cubit to our stature. And so he's saying we ought to be content. The Spanish have a story about a king. Good King Alfonso, they call him. And the one story, they say he's a very wise man. And on one occasion, they say that he noticed that a lot of the young princes or pages, wherever they were, you know, the ones who would eat in the court would eat without saying grace. They wouldn't have a prayer before they ate. And so this day when they come in, there was a beggar, or a man dressed as a beggar, really unkempt and dirty and filthy, came walking in and pushed in to the table as if he was uninvited, and sat down and just ate and ate. King up there and the queen, and then he got up and just walked away. Didn't thank anybody. And these men, oh, there were some of them asked the king, that's a disgrace. He didn't thank your majesty. He didn't thank your majesty. Who is he? Who did he think he was coming in here? Who is that beggar coming in here in such ingratitude? And of course the king had planned it all. He said, I've watched you. You've come in and you haven't thanked God before you ate. You're worse. You're worse. Give us this day our daily bread, is to say that we're thankful. It's a prayer of compassion. Prayer of compassion. Give us our daily bread. In other words, it's not all about my needs. It's not all about my needs. It's our needs. And that's why we come to the prayer meeting and we pray, Lord, bless our brethren and sisters. It's not just to pray for each other. Lord, meet my daily needs so that I can help others. That's part of it. Lord, feed me, us. It's never in the prayer. Give me my daily bread. Nothing wrong in praying that, of course, but the emphasis in the prayer is on the us. We're to pray for others. We have to pray that they'll get the daily need. And surely this prayer does lift us up to the world that's round about us that's starving. We think, of course, of those of the household of faith first. But it does take us to the world and remind us there's a world out there. There's a world that's starving. There's people around the world don't have food. And we could go into the different statistics that are there. Just yesterday, the grandchildren were up, a couple of them, and my son put on just a short snippet of a video. Maybe some of you have seen it. I understand it was on television. Earthlight, about the amazing flight of birds. It's fantastic about God's creation. Just saw a minute or two. And it's absolutely amazing, some of those birds. And it just, how anybody could ever think it just happened. There's not a creator. It's amazing. Terrific footage. But he showed just a couple of, maybe a minute and a half or 2 minutes of a temple in India. I don't know if any of you saw the documentary. And you know what they worship in the temple? Rats. Shows you all these pigeons flying around trying to get the food. And there's dishes and the people are walking and the rats are crawling over their feet. And they're setting out all the wee titbits for the rats to come. And basins of milk. They worship rats. That's Hinduism for you. A temple dedicated to the worship of rats. I remember reading, oh, must be 20 years ago, a book about aid and so on around the world. And they pointed out, at that time, there was more grain eaten by rats and mice in India than all the grain that was sent from other countries in the world in aid. Yet the Hindus won't do anything to kill the rats or mice. But you know, they believe, you see, it could be their uncle. That's true, I'm not making that up. Could be your uncle or your father. That's what they teach. If you didn't realize Hinduism, Buddhism teach that. That you could come back, if you've been bad in this life, you could come back as an animal. And you go through all these stages of reincarnation. And you think about it, these religions and so many of them coming into Britain today, they're corrupt. They're evil. And yes, of course we have sympathy. Don't misunderstand me. Of course we need to be concerned as Christians for the starving. But you know, the sad thing is, while on one hand governments around the world are saying we ought to give more to aid, do you know what causes? Now, not all of it. I understand they're natural disasters. But if you really study it out, men who've studied it far more than I ever have, a lot of the famines in the world are caused by man's corruption, by false religion, by evil dictators. That's what causes a lot of it in the world. But still, we are to lift up our eyes and to come. Well, I've gone over my time there, but we're to pray for one another. We're to pray for those daily needs. And while we do that, it does lead on. That's the meaning of the text, but it does lead on to remind us, while we're praying for their physical needs, pray for their spiritual needs. Pray that we'll receive the bread of life. Pray that those who are lost will come to know him, because what does it matter if you have good food all your life and yet go to hell? What does it really matter in the end of the day? So, of course, we pray for the spiritual as well. There's a little children's prayer, and it's good to teach the children to say grace. Actually, quite a few groups from the continent, I remember some of them, even when we were in Bible school, they would say a short grace at the beginning of the meal. I'm talking of the main meal when the family got together, and then they say grace afterwards as well. So hope the wife and the mother have done a good meal. But they actually sing, the children would sing a grace after the meal and thank him for what they've eaten. But a little prayer, maybe you've used this before. God is great, God is good. Let us thank him for our food. By his hands we all are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. That's a good one to teach your children or grandchildren. Lord, give us our daily bread. Well, I better finish because we do want to get down to prayer. Could I just mention?